Welcome to the Speaker's Corner Show. My name is Heiko Koo. This week's show is a meeting held last week with Jonathan Klein speaking and discussing about the events that have taken place in Sweden following the elections in which the right wing gained a dominant position. Jonathan Klein is the editor of the newspaper Socialisten, a social democratic and left party newspaper in Sweden. The Speaker's Corner Show is broadcast every Sunday at 4:30. On 104.4 Resonance FM. You can catch our shows on speakerscorner.net, or you can come down to Speaker's Corner any Sunday afternoon and join us between noon and dusk.
For the social democracy, it was the worst result since 1914, which was before universal suffrage. For the left party, which is the ex-communist party, it's the same result as the last election. So the previous general election was the worst result for social democracy since 1920, I think. So we're going backwards in history. And it was a strange election campaign because the official media campaign consisted about the bourgeois parties saying, well, we think, we've cut taxes for those people at work, which they've done, which means that people who work pay a lower tax than people who are on unemployment benefit or health insurance or something like that, or pensions, which is an extremely unfair method. Of course, people who work, if you've got two people working in the family, then suddenly you find you've got with present exchange rate, you've got maybe £190 extra to spend per month. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is quite a significant amount of money. And they're going to cut even more, so perhaps you end up with an extra £350 a month for a family who's at work. But of course it increases the gap enormously to those who aren't working. And initially the social democracy, the leadership, had opposed that. And then they, in the election campaign, they accepted it. And they said, yes, but we should also give tax cut to pensioners. But they didn't say about tax cut to other people. And then it would be the bourgeois party say, well, if the finances will permit it, we will cut VAT on going to restaurants. And then the social democratic leader would get up on television and be really upset and say, this is typical, they're so unclear. They say, if the economy will permit it, then we will cut those taxes. But we say we will definitely do it. Although they'd never mentioned it in the past. So it was the most kind of craven adaption to, really so low adaption to what the bourgeois parties were saying. So they got a great authority thanks to that. And people believed them. And then they were helped by the fact that the Swedish economy was one of the ones least affected in Europe by the crisis, because the big crisis was in the beginning of the 90s in Sweden. That's when the banks were on the verge of collapse in Sweden. So that's why the Swedish, they were inviting experts from Sweden over to the United States. How do we solve this problem with the banks? Because they had that experience in the beginning of the 90s in Sweden. And so public debt is not very high. It's also among the lowest in Europe. So they don't actually have to do big cuts. It's quite sort of insidious policy, which is that they're consciously trying to split the working class and split it out between those that work and those that don't work, as if some workers are never ill and never unemployed, and you know they're the ones that should benefit. And at the same time, they're privatizing everything. So the healthcare is being privatized, the railways are privatized, the post office is privatized. They're selling out all the state assets, really. So it's a real shift in how society has been done, and the Social Democrats are basically supporting it. They're not really arguing against it.
Is it the same? There's no alternative argument?
No. In the last week of the election, I went to a public meeting in the centre of Stockholm, and they had the leadership of the three opposition parties, the Left Party, Social Democracy and the Greens. They have an alliance. And so all the party leaders were speaking, and they said absolutely nothing. And then this actor got up. He plays in Hollywood films, Stellan Skarsgård. He's quite a famous actor. He often plays bad guys in Hollywood films and stuff like that. Anyway, he got up and he said, well, this is the first time I get up and speak on an election platform, but I feel it's absolutely essential to do this because we've got to stop them from selling out the remains of the state assets, because we need that, and I'm a lot in the United States and I see what it's meant to have private health care everywhere. And that little film clip of him was on the top of YouTube for the whole of the following week, the most seen thing. Everybody was going to look at, because they were looking for arguments. Finally somebody is talking some sense in the election campaign. And after that, they sort of improved a bit. But it was too late for them to pick up any kind of support. So the sort of right populist party, anti-immigrant party, got in for the first time. They got 5.6% of the vote. A lot of publicity. It's a party with a Nazi core, because it's the people who are in the leadership of that have come from Nazi organizations which existed 15, 20 years ago and that. But they don't have any organized thugs in the street. In fact, they present themselves as very respectable, properly dressed, and they've expelled skinheads from the party and stuff like that. But they picked up the vote of people who, is clear, showed in the opinion polls, those that really have no faith in any of the politicians with reason, really, and wanted to express that. The main issue for them wasn't really the question of immigration or that. The main issue was to show the others that we don't believe in anything you say, really. So it's been a bit of a shock, because the Swedish Social Democracy has lost elections before. Not often. But then it's always been, then they come back in the next election. And this time, the bourgeois alliance got back into power. And it's led to quite a sort of debate. And they're going to have an extra party congress to discuss this. And there are some calls for the resignation of the leader of the party. But at this stage, there's nobody else really stands out as any kind of opposition to the present leader of the party, so I don't know if that will actually happen. But people have understood for some time that the Swedish model doesn't exist any longer, because we've had cuts for 20 years in the public services, nothing new. But there was still the kind of hanging on to the idea that some sort of, almost just based upon nostalgia, that somehow Sweden was different still. And now it's like people feel, well, we're not better any longer. It's really the sort of final end of the Swedish model. In this election.
Yeah. Thomas, any comments, questions, contributions?
Where do the trade unions stand in this?
Well, there's three union federations. One is the blue collar workers, one is the white collar workers, and one is the academics. And blue-collar workers, the Social Democrats got 50% of the vote, and Left Party, I think, got 11 or 12% of the vote, and then the Greens got another 10-15%. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, among blue-collar workers, not more than, say, 15-20% voted for right-wing parties. Say 20% vote for right-wing party, something like that. And then, the white-collar workers, it was less. And then once you get to the academics, it was even less that voted for the left.
Yeah, less voted for the left?
Yes.
Right.
Academics includes what?
Academics would be university lecturers, architects,
teachers?
Well, the teachers, they have teachers at different levels, so some would belong to that. The most qualified teachers would. But most teachers would belong to the White Collar Workers Federation. Lawyers.
Professionals.
They belong to that.
So they benefit most from the tax cuts, presumably.
Well, that's right. It's been an amazing change, because if you own a house in the Stockholm region, in the 4 years of this government, your spending power, you've had an additional 11,000-12,000 pounds additional spending power. Which you have received during this year. Mm-hmm. The people who own houses in Stockholm are generally better off. Mm-hmm. Although a lot of the population live in houses. In the small towns, even in workers' towns, people live in houses, generally. 50% of the population live in houses. But not in Stockholm.
They're in apartments. So.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, high-rise buildings and stuff like that. And so they have received an extra spending power of per person. So if you have a family with two people working, that means you've got maybe an extra, received an extra £25,000 to spend. That's a lot of money.
In a year? Well, over the 4 years?
No, over the 4 years.
Oh, yes. What's the percentage of the population of this Stockholm? Is it a large percentage?
Well, it's 2 million out of 9 million.
Was there a big abstention in the elections?
A big what?
Abstention.
No.
So it was a good time.
A reasonable. Not like it used to be 20, 30 years ago. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I mean, I would guess it would be, say, 80-82%. Whereas 20, 30 years ago would have been 90%. But these, again, are just guesses.
You said they are privatizing everything.
Yes, so everything.
What's regarding the banks?
Sorry?
The banks. in Sweden? The banking sector.
Yes.
Is it privatized historically? Yes. Is it some of it privatized? Is it
no.
Or has it been always privatized, all of it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, in the banking crisis, they were forced to take over some banks, but then they've sold out the shares over the period of time. They might still have some minority holdings in one or two banks, I think so. Well, in the last 10 years, Sweden has had a relatively positive economic development. One of the reasons was because, again, in 2003, I think it was, there was the referendum on the euro, and it was a complete defeat for the establishment because it was an enormous campaign in favour of it, and all the trade union leaders and social democracy, everybody was advocating the euro, and they lost because it was a kind of popular revolt against it. But now nobody's calling to join the euro because Sweden has benefited economically since then, because first the Swedish krona declined, so the export industry has benefited very much from it. So nobody's really talking about joining the euro now, and I think that's one of the main reasons why the Swedish economy has done relatively well in the past 6-7 years.
What about the, you know, one of the main reasons for the crisis in America and Britain and Australia, Spain, these countries, Ireland, was the property boom, you know, this property bubble. We do not have that to the same extent in Sweden.
No, not to the same extent at all. One of the reasons has been because in Sweden, rents were set by the council housing. So the agreement was that the rents of the council housing decided what the rents of the private housing would be. But then in the last, during this last government period, they've been selling out lots of the council housing. So in the centre of Stockholm, there's very little council housing left. It's being sold out. But that sort of, if you keep rents down, you keep the price of property down also, because if you can rent something cheaply, you're not going to throw away millions upon buying something. If you know you can rent something cheaply, it's not economically feasible for most people to do so. So the price of property is still relatively cheap in Stockholm, certainly compared to London or Paris or Rome or something like that. But that's changing now because all the council housing is being sold out. And then they're also removing the rent controls. Well, that they've removed already. And that's...
Yeah, that's how it started in Britain in the early 80s, with Thatcher.
Yes.
Removal of rent control and selling of council housing.
Yes.
What was the reaction? So, I know you had a meeting of the comrades to talk about how you are going to respond to the situation. So, you know, socialist, what's your... How are you feeling to respond to this current situation?
Well, what we decided to do is, well, we've already started to do that, is we're going to take advantage of the statutes of the social democracy, which they've changed because they've had such difficulty getting members. They've lost members. When they abolished, I think like in 1990 or something, they abolished union affiliation to the party. But then there were about 260,000 members of the party, and now there are less than 100,000 in the party, so it's been an enormous decline. So they changed the statutes. So in the past, when you wanted to form a branch of the party, it was all geographically based. And then they said, well, you know, people want to form a branch because they want to
you know, play football together, they can form a party branch, play football together, or if they have a particular interest, you know, women want to support each other in their careers, then they can form a party branch to do that and that. So we decided we would try now to we'll form a party branch to fight for socialism. And it'll be on a regional basis, you know, for the whole of Stockholm. Anybody in the whole of Stockholm can join. And we'll see what sort of response we get for that, because that will give entitle us to a delegate, and we can the conference, and we can, you know, the regional conference in Stockholm, and we can put forward resolutions there. We can go to Workers in Struggle and say, you know, here's a party branch of the social democracy which supports your struggle, and that. So that was one of the things we're going to do. And then within the Young Left, where we have comrades active also, they're going to be putting forward resolutions and fighting for that for the Congress of the Young Left. That was basically what we decided to do.
I mean, one of the things, obviously, that sounds like a great initiative. The only drawback being, not drawback, but limitation of it being that you normally would need to also try to link up with what other limited left people there are in the party. Because obviously it's difficult to offer yourself as an alternative as a small group, isn't it? You have to give the impression that it's a broader, you know, united front against the lead, you know, to change the party. From what you said, it doesn't sound like there's many of those sort of elements in the party. I mean, are there any members of the parliament who would be reasonable?
Not that they've shown their face at this stage. If one goes back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, then there were people we were cooperating with in campaigns against cuts, the question of the bombing of Serbia, the Iraq war, and that privatization campaigns we had. And one could normally find one or two or a handful or something which would support you. But we have to see, because now it's been the defeat, and you know, maybe some people would be prepared to stick their necks out. But it's been very much desert for a few years.
Even among academics who would support the country to propose something?
Well, I mean, there's certainly intellectuals of various types which would support. Sorry?
Any radical ones, I mean?
Yes. I mean, generally, anybody involved in culture in Sweden would be left wing.
Mm.
You know, that's clear.
I mean, this is the contradiction, isn't it? That you've got this crisis in the world economy, which has kind of shaken faith in capitalism.
Yeah.
Among a lot of people, and you've got a lot of people out there who regard themselves as left wing, but this is not much reflected in the mass party. It's rather strange.
No,
yeah.
In the unions, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are angry,
yeah.
And that. And if you also, I mean, if you go to smaller towns, which are more solidly working class, which are built on one industry or two industries or something. There's a lot of those in Sweden based upon a paper mill or steel mill or something like that. There you will find that the party is a lot closer to the working class, but not in the main cities. You know, it's really... There's so many people earn a living from the movement or from the state, and I don't mean like, you know, being a nurse or something like that, but you know, being paid for having a position. There's such a lot of that.
Yeah.
So, and they completely dominate the party in the big cities.
I should have asked this question before, because I'm not sure about the our position in the mass organization in Sweden. So our work should be in social democrats, unlike in Germany, for example, social democrats and SPD is now right working it. We work in their way. So is it similar to that?
Well, we work in both parties.
Okay.
But I mean, the Social Democratic Party is the party of the working class still. If you get more than 50% of blue-collar workers to vote for the party. And they don't vote for the party because they believe that the party is going to lead them to socialism or anything like that. They vote, it's because it's a basic kind of class consciousness that, you know, you have to unify your vote, you have to unify where you express yourself, and they certainly do that towards social democracy, but they're not active there any longer.
And the other party, you said?
The left party, the ex-communist party.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have a sort of marginal existence. They have some support among workers in the public sector. But I would say... but they don't have any systematic union work or... They have a few individuals with positions and that, but the unions are affiliated to the social democracy in the sense that they pay money, and the leaders of the unions are also in the leadership of the social democracy.
All of them?
Yeah, all the important unions.
So is the Left Party kind of bureaucratic centralist rules?
Well, it's been, I would say that if we went back 10 years ago, it was even more bureaucratic than the Social Democratic Party. Today it's pretty loose by comparison. Yeah. Social democracy is much looser than it was in the past, too. It's, they're desperate to get people. Just to be able to fill the positions which they have.
Yeah. Does it mean that also the Left Party is dominated by students? Or?
No, the Left Party is completely dominated by people who have positions in the local councils.
Okay.
Well, not necessarily careerists, because having a position in the local council is not a paid position.
Okay.
You're not paid for sitting.
If you're a careerist, you wouldn't join the Left Party, presumably you join Social Democracy or one of the Left Parties. If you were a careerist, why would you join the Left Party? I would think if you wanted to get a career, you would join one of the bigger parties.
More likely to grow from here, isn't it?
But the main perspective is completely the perspective that people are active in local councils and are concerned about, you know, where the next traffic light should be placed and how the park should look and stuff like that. That's a completely dominating strand in the Left Party, because they only have about 10 or 11,000 members, and I don't know how many local councils are in Sweden, but there's quite a number, and they even have local councils for with only 7,000 inhabitants so if you get 5% of the vote, you get you basically, and if they're not actually in the local council, then they will be, the council also has lots of committees, you know, they have a school committee, they have a road committee, they have, and then you would sit in those committees and that, so It's really very dominated by people who spend all their spare time active in one way or another in the local council.
That was the Speaker's Corner show for this week. The main speaker was Jonathan Klein, the editor of the newspaper Socialisten in Sweden. You can come down to Speaker's Corner and join us any Sunday afternoon between noon and dusk. You can tune in same time, same place, 4:30 Sundays, on 104.4 Resonance FM, or you can visit our website at speakerscorner.net. That's speakerscorner.net.